This is a recording of Danny T. from Southern California, taped at the Saturday Night NA Speaker Meeting in Santa Maria, California, on Saturday, April 6, 1991. In observance with our 11th tradition stating anonymity at the public level, please keep this tape within the fellowship and observe the anonymity of all NA speakers.
Oh, shit. Hi, my name is Maureen. I'm an addict and an alcoholic. And it feels like I just did some Dizoxin. I got 10 minutes to tell you. Oh, wait a minute. All right, here we go. I got 10 minutes to tell you what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I guess. Okay, I fucked up. Thank you very much. I got a drunk log and I got a drug log, but I'll just get right to the point of what happened to me. There's a titty bar out there in LA, right? It's called the Goose, okay? And this is what happened to me. I mean, this was my bottom, okay? I'm a construction worker, you know, and like about me and about four of these guys, we're going to go to this titty bar because, like, we're construction workers, okay? And so, you know, after about 15 pitchers of beer, you know what, I thought I better go home. Because, like, you know what, Friday was a payday and I didn't want to get no drunk drivings, and I figured 15 pitchers, you know, amongst four of us was enough. And so, you know what, I got this little guy in the back of my head, you know. Yeah, his name's Chuck. You don't give a fuck. Yeah. And you know what? You know, after 15 pitchers of beer, I'm on my way home. And I got long hair and I got this stupid cowboy hat. And I'm trying to look cool. And I'm in this 1978 Cadillac. One of them bromes or whatever, you know, with no trunk, you know. No shocks or any of that shit. And I couldn't understand why Temple City sheriffs were always pulling me over, you know. On the way home from this titty bar, this guy Chuck came on the air and he said, you know what, Mario, you're not fucked up enough. And, you know, about 2 or 3 miles, I was inclined to agree with that guy. You know, I said, you're right. You're right, you're not fucked up enough. So you know what, I figured 10 miles wasn't too far out of the way to go get a little more fucked up, you know. And so what I did is I went down to pick up a couple bags, you know. I was only going to get one. what happened is, like, I ended up getting three because they were $10 bags, and I figured, oh, fuck, I was doing $30, you know, worth of that shit, you know. And no problem, you know. But I didn't account for the 15 pitchers of beer, and I didn't account for these guys having one of them kind of drug wars, you know. You know, because, like, you know, they weren't cutting the shit up like they were before, you know. It was like they were trying to get rid of their shit real fast. And so I went into this gas station with these three dime bags that I thought were nothing. And, I did them. I told the guy to fill up the cab. Like I said, fill up the cab, I'll be right back. You know, I'm going to go take care of business. And so I did these three bags of heroin, and, you know, I went through the whole ritual, you know, and that was the whole thing for me, you know. You know, cooking it up and all that good shit, you know, drawing it up and jacking it off a few times, you know, and so, like, after I did it, you know, that guy Chuck comes on the air again, and he says, boy, you fucked up this time, huh? Sure enough, man, it's like I had the weight of the world on my shoulders. There was just no way I was going to make it to my Cadillac. Fucking cowboy hat fell off. Anyway, and I fell out, you know, and I woke up in the hospital again, you know, with them tubes down there, you know what, man, and, you know, they were pumping my stomach, and the first thing I thought of when I woke up, you know, and I saw the lights and all that, I thought, man, these guys fucked up my high. and I couldn't believe it, man. It, you know, they pumped my belly full of Narcan and all that shit, and And so, you know, they just fucking cut the opiate right out of the box. Anyway, I knew I was in trouble, man. This guy, Judge Montez at the Rio Hondo Court, you know, he's got, every time I go in front of him, you know, it's his first name basis, you know, and like I knew that I was going to do a year this time because, like, it wasn't the first time I overdosed in it. And I got six drunk drivings along with that shit, and so I was in trouble. And so I thought, fuck, I better duck in one of them 30-day wonder programs real fast. I got good insurance, you know, and so that's what I did. I ducked into one of them programs real fast, you know, and you know, I figured, you know, I'll get one of them counselors to write me a nice letter, you know, that I'm trying to do real good, and I'll get the psychologist to say, you know, well, we've psychologically tested this man, and, you know, we think he's going to stay clean and sober this time, and I figured I'd just run the game again, you know what I mean, and they'll cut my sentence in half. Well, you know, 9 days into this program, I'm on this sham, you know, I'm kidding myself, you know. I couldn't admit, powerlessness, you know, because, like, it was no, you know, there was no unmanageability to get them drugs and alcohol. I couldn't relate this thing to being a disease, you know, and I'm feeling at ease with my own feelings, you know, and that's why, I anesthetized them with drugs and alcohol. 9 days into this program, though, you know what? They had me in a room. It was like four. You know, the number of the room was 415, and it was overlooking Forest Lawn, You know, the mortuary, and there's a cross up there, you know, and you know, everybody's praying for me. I don't understand this prayer stuff, but everybody's praying for me, and they're hoping that I'm going to make it this time, you know. And I had $20 on the bed, and I'm figuring, man, you know what? Pasta's got some pretty good dope. I think I'll go AMA, you know? Fuck these guys. Anyway, something happened to me, you know? Something happened to me, you know? It was March 21st. I didn't want to take my Valiums March 17th, you know? And so, like, that was my real sobriety date. That was my sobriety date, And March 21st, something happened to me, you know. I wanted this program, you know. I wanted to stay clean. I wanted to stay sober. And you know, when I fell on my knees that night, you know what I mean? I made sure nobody saw me. I made sure the door was closed. And I asked this God, whoever it may be, you know, people said it's a group of drug addicts, you know, a group of drunks or whatever, you know, if I can get this program, you know, and the program simply meaning people relying on God relaying a message, you know, a group of drug addicts. And I asked him to come into my life, man. Now, I didn't see no burning bush, you know, and I didn't see lightning bolts striking all over the place, but I did feel a kind of ease, you know, a calm. I kind of felt like, it's going to be all right. They were talking about, you know what, you got to get a sponsor, you know what, you got to go to meetings for as many times as you went to the connection. Well, fuck, I was going to the connection like 2 to 5 times a day, you know. And so I said, fuck, what an order. Anyway, what I did is I went... I went to a meeting. There's a 7 o'clock meeting. It's a Shakers meeting. I went to that 7 o'clock meeting. I went to the 12 o'clock noon meeting. I went to the 8 o'clock meeting. There was a 10:30 candlelight. And then there was a 12 o'clock meeting for, you know, people that just can't get no sleep, I guess. And that's how I ended my day. And I got a sponsor. And he says, you got to keep it really simple, Mario, all right? And so, like, when you pray, you know, just pray for help, all right? And when you've made it through the day, get on your knees, make sure nobody sees you, and say, thanks. And so that's what I did, man, for the first, 30 days, and then 60 days, and then 90 days, right? I come up with my 90-day chip. And you know what, I got this sponsor, and he's got me writing all this shit down and reading all this stuff, man, and fuck, my ass is falling off, man. And this, I went to one of them other meetings, you know, and this guy, I'm sharing about some guy that cut me off on the freeway and whatever. He comes on after me, and he says, easy does it, you know. And he was wearing a suit, and I ran over and I grabbed him by the suit and said, easy does what, man? Fucking A. I'm going, Oh, man. And so, you know, it's all them little cliches that you know, they were kicking in after a while. My ass was falling off. And the guy tells me, you know, I corner him and he tells me, well, here's a needle and thread, sew it back on. And I... And little shit like that, you know, buy some hand grips, you know what I mean? Because it's a, for your ass, because it's a roller coaster ride. And oh man, let me tell you, you know what, man? And like, you know, and I've been asking this God, you know, for help, you know, and for every morning, you know, when I think about it, you know, and at the end of, and at the end of the night, I thank him, you know what I mean? You know what, man, if it wasn't for you people, I wouldn't be clean and sober, because, like, you know what, man, we're united, man. It's in this unity, man, you know what, we find this recovery, man. It's in this recovery we find our strength. It's through your trials and tribulations, man, your problems and your solutions, that I can get through another day, man. And with that, thank you very much.
Amen. And I had never met Danny. I talked to him on the phone once before in this tonight, and I feel like I already know him. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our main speaker, Danny T. from Venice.
My name's Danny. I'm an addict alcoholic. And, I don't really know anything. I just, you know, I'm breathing God in myself. No, I don't know. You don't tell me what do, man. We show up here sick, and you know what? I'd like to thank Richard, and I'd like to thank Narcotics Anonymous for, you know, honoring me, really, by asking me up here, because it's really my privilege to do anything for Narcotics Anonymous, because if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, I don't know about any of you, but I'd probably be in the pen. You know, it'd be that simple. I'd be in a joint right now. I would probably be yelling at somebody, hey! Denise! Write me a dirty note. I don't know why. You know, I'd be trying to entertain myself. You know what I mean? I got here a while back, and I wasn't right. You know, I was like most people. You know what I mean? I hate to pop anybody's bubble, but Narcotics Anonymous, especially Narcotics Anonymous, is not like for well folks. You know what I mean? lately, I've been seeing like a lot of people, like even thinking they're better. You know what I mean? Like, literally, like, you know, like, well, and they act like they're playing with a full deck. You know what I mean? You know, and, God damn, man. The reality is, we couldn't make a full deck if we used everybody's card. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I don't know about any of you, see, but I wake up in the morning and, God deals me my three cards. You know what I mean? I look at the first card, and it's like, wow, it's the two of clubs. You know, it's okay. You know, I pick up my next card, and it's like the Jack of Diamonds, you know? And then I get the next card is a joker that don't count. You know what I mean? The one that you put back in the box, that worthless one. And I get upset. You know what I mean? Hey, I can't even make a hand on him. And then that little voice, that God voice we all got, man, that little voice says, you know what, punk, you better thank God you're still in the game. And now that's all I do. See, all I do is thank God I'm still in the game. I don't ask him for nothing. I just, you know, I mean, think about it. I got the audacity to ask God for something. You know what I mean? I've lost the right to feel bad. I don't know about any of you, see, but I am a dope fiend. That doesn't mean a social user. We're talking, see, when you come here, they talk about addiction. They don't say we socially use. They don't say we had a little smoky poo. They don't say that. They don't talk about a fixie poo. You know what I mean? I love Cocaine's Anonymous. I tooted, and you know, I think Cocaine's Anonymous is like the cutest thing that has ever happened. I swear to God. And I don't, wait a minute, let me tell you something. I don't mean that bad. I had an uncle, my Uncle Gilbert, now he messed with heroin for 30 years, right? He'd come out of the joint, he messed with cocaine for 8 months and died. You know what I mean? Now there's a message there. You know what I mean? I had another partner, Dennis, he did heroin for 30 years. He come out of the pen, messed with that coke for 4 months and died. See, now you'd think I got 22 years being clean and being sober. And they both just died a few years ago. Now you would think with 22 years, I would come up with something better than, wow, was coke that good? My uncle died. I'm thinking, wow, was coke that good? You know what? So I don't know. Man, I really don't. Man, I got here. Hey, I was not the friendly person you see before you right now. Well, I was totally insane, man. I just finished doing 5 stinking years. I didn't come out with a pleasant attitude. You know what I mean? I came out, God, I came out riding so hard, I left Solidarity. I've been in San Quentin and Folsom and Beckerville and Susanville and Sierra and in Solidarity, both north and central facilities. So when I came out just riding hard. God damn. And I had one partner of mine, a guy named Frank Russo, and I say that because he told me never to mention his name. We've been in a joint together in like 1962, 63, 64. And then he got out and then I got out in 65. I was out in 1965. I was out like 100 days. Then I went back in the joint. And I was busted 65, 66, 67, 68. And I got out in 1969. I had a year clean and sober when I got out. Now, so you're going to have to understand that, like, I was not too tidy rap when I got here. You know what I mean? I was like, speakers, I didn't get along with them at all. Yeah, speakers used to talk with their hands. You know? And I remember this one speaker said, and some of us are inadequate. And I was sitting over there. So I because I know what to do when somebody calls you inadequate. You know what I mean? And so I got up and, you know, act like I went and got a cup of coffee and went outside the meeting. And I waited for him. And guy came out. You know, said bye to everybody, and then I down. Pow! And I just started commencing to do what you do when somebody says that about you. And my sponsor, thank God, like he grabbed me and pulled me off. He said, what is wrong with you? guy call me inadequate, man. My father, like, yeah, this guy's about 6'4", good 230, right? Big Italian dude, right? Russo, yeah, no, Irish. But, he screams, what's inadequate? I said, means I can't get it up. I told my father, I'm going to show this guy I can get it up right now. And so he just grabbed me like he always did, and he said, let's go to another meeting. So we went to another meeting. And we did that a lot. We went to a lot of meetings. We left in the middle of meetings. We left at coffee break. Because I had a real, you know, some people they talk about, see, they talk about just coming into the program and just fitting right in, you know what I mean? And you see them 24 days later, they're like bubbly, you know what I mean? This was not me. You know what I mean? I had a year clean and sober. I came into the meetings. I was not bubbly. I was not pleasant to be around. I was always doing something. Like, you know what? Fuck you. Get away from me. Because all these people wanted to be my pal. You know, and I didn't understand this. You know, it's like people would come and go, hi, I'm Bob. You know. Yeah, well, Bob up and down on this. I don't know who you are. There's no way see. See, you guys laugh. Wait, let me tell you. Like, I didn't know this guy. This guy was not from my neighborhood. And I've never done any time with him. So that washed him out as any kind of partner. You know what I mean? See? And then here comes another guy. Hi, I'm Hank, you know. They were Hank this. You leave me alone. Now, some people got very upset at my attitude. They did, man. Some people would walk off into their little group of like four. You're the only friends they've ever had all their life. No, they got to come to Narcotics Anonymous and be important to four people. You know what I mean?
He won't make it 30 days.
I buried a lot of them sons of bitches, man. I buried a lot of them. You know, a lot of them died, see. Then there was other people that they just, that guy Hank, and this guy was like, he's still not right, right? But he would come up and he would say, hi, I'm Hank. You know, yeah, well, screw you, Hank. You know, get away from me. And he would say, hey, I understand. And you keep coming back because we need you. Now that's the, when you give me something I understand, you understand, I am a reactor, you understand, I react, you understand, you go here, I go, well, yeah, double, I know how to do that, come on, man, see, you tell me he won't make it 30 days, yeah, I'm taking your mother with me, too, but I know how to react, I know how, you give me something I understand, I can react, give me something I don't understand, and I don't know how to react, and when this guy Hank would say something like, hey, I understand. And you keep coming back because we need you. I'd go up to Frank and say, hey, let's book this meeting, man. Get out of here. And we'd leave. I'd go to another meeting, man, and here's this guy again, man. Hey, get out of me, Hank. I hear you. Want to say hello or you want me to screw off? You know? Why don't you go ahead and screw off, man? Leave me alone. I don't want to be this guy's pal. Do you understand? I don't want to be this guy's partner. He doesn't work in the shoe shop, so he can't give me no shoes. He doesn't work in the laundry, so he can't do me no bonaroos. He doesn't work in the canteen, so it doesn't matter. The guy's worthless, right? Okay. So then I go to another meeting, and I'm standing at the back like I used to. Like I still do, really. No, I used to stand on the back with the, you know, get the piss away from me face. I'm not here for help, asshole. still do it. I still stand there. It's and so anyway, I'm standing. And I look over this. Go to another meeting, man. He'll just die again. Yeah. Dan, it's me. Hey, come on over and meet my brother. Yeah. Oh, both of you, Hank, says, to leave me alone. The first meeting I go to, I see Hank, and he don't see me. What happens? Hey, Hank. Aren't you going to say hello? Bastard tricked me. Now he don't even tell me hi. Hey, Hank, get out of here. Yo, screw you now. So I don't know, man. I ain't got nothing. You know what? It's like I see people, wow, I see people, and they like got a whole rundown of what they did to stay here. I don't even know. I'm 22 years clean and sober. I still don't know. You know what I mean? I wake up in the morning, thank you, God. And I'm not going to thank you for what? You know what I mean? Thank you for waking up. See, Mario said, I mean, some of us have woke up, you know, in that county jail, you know, the hospital section, you know, the hospital, I mean, no, I'm sorry, the general hospital, the county jail section, you know what I mean? And you wake up and you've got all them tubes and you've got the priest on this side and you've got the sheriff on this side. And if the sheriff is a comedian, he'll say something like, if he dies, Padre, you get him. You know what I mean? And you know you're going to jail. It's very simple. If you hear them, you're going to jail. It ain't about, they'll feel sorry because I almost died. You know, I get them goddamn tubes. So you know, it's like, when I showed up here, I got to say that I really just showed up here in 1959. God damn, I hate saying that, man. In 1959, I belonged to what was called the party crashing clique. You know, we were just cruising around one Friday night looking for parties. And that's the God's honest truth. Friday night, we're just, there's about 20 of us. You know what I mean? About 20 of us. A good car load. We're just... And we, right on the corner of Lev Street and Van Nuys Boulevard in Pacoima, there was like 30 cars parked out in front of this house. And we just said, Jubo. Time to party. And we stopped and everybody got out of the car. We went to the trunk to get the tools necessary to crash parties. You know, we got tire irons, bumper jacks, pieces of pipe. I had a case of beer, 3 bottles of wine, a half pint of whiskey, and I was already loaded on Red Devils. You know what I mean? It's funny, to this day, every time I say Red Devils, I'm out flur. I don't know why. I'm my friend, I'm out flur. Red Devils. But so when we had these gorilla biscuits, you know, I'm wasted on them, and we go, and when you crash a party, you can't, like, knock, can we come here? No, get the fizz out of here. So we just kind of kicked in the front door of this pad, man, and everybody rushed in, and the first thing we saw was a big sign that said, we care. And we had just crashed the Friday night speakers meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we care group, you know what I mean? Now let me tell you, now the minute I got in, see, I'm no dummy, the minute I got in there, I knew this was a no-no, see? This is, you know what I mean? See, because there's a lot of us that have never found out about AA, NA, or PA, you know what I mean? None of us, and if we didn't find out, if we didn't know, do you realize that we could just stay out there just oblivious to the fact that drug addicts stay clean? See? if I would have never walked into that stinking meeting. I could have just been out wasted right now. What is it? Saturday night. I could have been, like, I don't know Santa Maria that well, but I imagine you have a place where I could be like, bitch, call him. Call him again. Shut up. Just call him. I was, you know, and you know how dope women are. But anyway. But anyway, so, you know, and that's what I could be doing. But instead, I heard the curse. You understand? I heard the curse of Alcoholics Narcotics Anonymous, man. I heard the curse that night. Now, once you've heard the curse, it's all over for you. It's all over. I don't care what happens. But see, like, the minute I seen the baskets, I seen those stinking baskets, I knew, this is some kind of shirt that's getting the piss out of here quick, man. And, but the people were sharp. God, they were smart, man. Because I remember when I turned around for my troops, the people had them all in, like, little groups of four already. We don't drink. And all my homeboys are, And I say, let's go get out of here, man. Now this guy comes up, man. This guy comes up and he says, my energy's right. Danny, if you leave me alone, hard shaking hands, holding a case of beer, three bottles of wine, half pint. Already being a little resembled. But this guy says, you know, he's telling me my name. He says, you know what, Danny? I've been on the program 8 years. Now, my mind, see, I knew that in Los Angeles, okay, my mind, so I knew the program in juvenile hall was 9 months. And that's if you kill somebody, you know what I mean? I knew that the program in the California Youth Disorder, or any county camp, was a year. That's the program. I knew that the program in the California Youth Authority was 18 months. And that's if you kill two people. You know what I mean? This guy, I looked around, this guy can't get out of this pad for 8 years. This guy's stupid. I don't want nothing to do with this guy. Then he says, I haven't drank in 8 years. Now, I'm holding a case of beer, three bottles of wine, a half pint of whiskey. I immediately, like, turn my back. I tell this guy, get the piss away from me, Holmes. You know what I mean? I don't want to share no booze with you. This guy ain't drank in 8 years. He'll drink forever. You know? Now, this guy says something that even at an early age, really, like, kind of just caught my ear. He said, I haven't wanted to drink in 8 years. Now, even at an early age, I can't remember not wanting to get drunk. And let me tell you, there's a big difference. See, so a lot of people, you'll hear people talk about, I drank for 50 years, you know. Now, they didn't drink alcoholically for 50 years. Do you understand? They didn't drink alcoholically. And it says it. They said they drank socially for long. They had social drinking careers. And then they crossed the line into alcoholism. See? Now, most of the young people in this room right now have never had a social drink. We have never had a social drink. If you started drinking when you were like 9 or 10, you weren't drinking socially. You know, we all put water in the tequila. You know, oh, shit, there we go. And so that's like not drinking like socially. We're like drunk from the day one, see? And then thank God for... Man, thank God for drugs. I mean, think about it, man. We could be still boozy. But so anyway, so this guy tells me, I haven't drank for 8 years, you know what I mean? And get away from me. And then he says, I haven't wanted to drink. And it caught me. He says, Danny, you know what? Why don't you join us? Man, let me get away from me, you old man. Let me out of here. And so we start sitting. This guy says, Danny, listen, if you leave this program, you're going to die, go insane, or go to jail. And notice how quiet the room got. Hear it? It's all over. You all got the curse. You all... And I was young and I heard that stinking thing. Man, no, let me tell you, it didn't make no sense. It just like went, whoa, what's this guy talking about? Die, go insane, or go to jail. See, let me tell you when it made sense. 3 months later, when the cops kicked in my front door, pow, wait, I'm that's a lie, kicked in my mother's front door. Had a shotgun through this window in my bedroom, because my bed was right there. Had a shotgun in this window. Had a shotgun woke me up like this. Pleasant way to wake up. Said, you know what? Move and we'll blow your brain. The fog hit me. So help me God. Die. Go insane or go to jail. Waking up like this, a whole like this, and the thought hit me, if I blink, I'm not making it to jail. Because, I mean, this guy was serious, you know, if they're not shaking, it's okay. If they're not shaking, if a cop's not shaking, you know what, fuck, get away from me, asshole. If he's not, but when he's shaking, don't say a word. Don't say a word. It made a little bit of sense. When the highway patrol got five cars with me, wow, run your car off the road and you're surrounded, and they're trained. The highway patrol is trained to leave their engine running for weeks at a time. They never shut them off. So that hood, you can fry an egg on that hood. They don't never shut them off. They like switch cars. It's, come on, Joel, still running. Just keep hot. So when they handcuff you and they like put you, die, go insane or go to jail. And the thought hits you, I might make it to jail with a burnt face, but I'm gonna make it to jail. That makes sense. So I heard that curse and I fought it ever since. Ever since I bought that cookie. I was 25 years old. I was about 24, 25. I was in solid debt. I just finished up that nickel. Now I tried it. That was 1959, 1963, 1965. Now, in 1968, let me tell you something. There was no doubt in my mind that I needed this program. And I truly believe that if you want to make your being clean and being sober a joyous event for the rest of your life, never, I'm going to get spiritual here for a minute, never forget where thou hast come from. Because that's all I have to do, but it's so strange. You know, the longer you stay clean and sober, the better it seems. You know, like you get here, I've seen people get here bad, especially now. You know what I mean? Especially like doing that PCP and all that dust and that KJ and that, you know, that funny kind of dope. You know what I mean? It's like they get here, they're like, and you think, oh my God, you know what I mean? But you watch them people 6-7 months later, they'll start thinking about, wasn't that bad? I mean, no, really, I had it together. The people that started using like in 1985 remember nothing until 90.
and then got here and stayed sober 6 months, stayed clean 6 months, and then all of a sudden started thinking,
it wasn't that bad.
From what I remember. You know what? I sponsored this one little dude, man. He's like, he took a 90-day chip.
I had to tell him, hey, go get your chip.
He said, for what? You know what I mean? I said, for being clean 90 days. And he goes, why? And he didn't even know why I didn't clean. Yeah, go get your stinking chip. He got up there and he said, my name's Freddie and I use CPC. And wait a second. He sat down and I thought, what do you use? CPC. I know. Don't go back out. So we get here however we get here. You understand? We get here however we get here. You don't get the Narcotics Anonymous by mistake. Please understand me here. You know what I mean? You don't get here tightly wrapped. You don't get, we got, I mean, look at that. All you guys are listening to a speaker right now, all right? I've been clean and sober 22 years. I have an MI stamped on my jacket, which means mentally ill. And I'm the speaker. There's something wrong. You understand? And all I know is I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you. Give my cards. And nowadays, I don't even give it. I don't care. I don't care. Put it in my back pocket. I don't care. Let's go. You know what I mean? Oh, boy. We're going to be... I'll stay clean. You know. And, you know, God, and it shows. It's so funny. I watch people make this thing so difficult. I watch this thing, people make this thing so hard. I watch people make this thing so trying that when they finally do go out, it's a relief. It's a joy. It's like, you know what? I understand this, man. It's like, I watched you. I thank God that when I got sober, when I got clean, there weren't like a lot of issues to deal with. There was not a lot of issues. All there was like, you know, you write everything down, you find out how you felt about it, and you hand it to your sponsor. And that's an inventory. That's all I knew. He read it, Okay. Really? Doing the ship? Okay, all right. No, I'm sorry. You read it, and that was it. You know? And I'm sitting there, well, is that it? He goes, that's it. Goes, no, but wait, I mean, give me something to, you know, do it, and that's it. No, come on now. I carried that shit for years, and that's it. That's it. Wow. Oh, you mean now like I'm happy, joyous, and free? You got it, buddy. But now it's so gosh. Oh, I would hate to be trying to get clean now. I would, because now that, oh, God, you have some issues. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. No. Oh, we got some issues with this one. Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, you're going to be in pain for a long time. Hot damn. Yeah. Here, we got a couple other programs you can go to, too. What do you think? Thank God, man. Thank God I got sober and clean when I did. Thank God. They hadn't developed issues yet. So I got here, man, and I... Because what it was like this. I was dragging this bag. I had this bag, and it was full of shit. You see? That's all. It was full of shit. And I had shit that I did when I was 3, and shit that was done to me when I was 4, and shit that I did when I was 5, and I had it in the bottom of the bag. And it was stuff I was never going to tell anybody. Man. I could never tell anybody, because heaven forbid anybody find out. See? And I stopped it, man, and I stopped it, and I stopped it. So by the time I hit juvenile hall, now wait a minute, I got a lot of doo-doo in this bag. And I'm driving it. Now, juvenile hall is not a good place to say, shape. Bubba White Freddy, come here. Come here, Holmes. Look. Have you ever felt like a girl? Not a good place. Juvenile Hall is not a good place. Because all of a sudden, Freddy doesn't want to be your friend. All of a sudden, Freddy wants to be your roommate. So you don't share that kind of shit. You hold it. All of a sudden, we're in the California Youth Authority. Oh, God. Hey. What are you doing? Hey, Holmes. No, Winston was like a big dude. What do you think about this, Holmes? Why do you want to move into my cell? Not a good place. High school, not a good place. There was no good place to dump that doo-doo. You understand? No good place. Please, if anybody's here and is going to go out, don't try to dump that doo-doo in San Quentin. Not a good place. Not a good place to go up to somebody and say, hey, come here. Have you ever been full of fear? Not a good place. Don't dump it. Please. So you're just dragging it back. More fear. More. More. And you come into a place like Narcotics Anonymous, right? And you try to tell these people that come up, hi, I'm Hank. You try to tell them, look, you will never understand. I got this bag, and they're like, walk like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We understand. Hang it over there on the rack with the rest of them. See, right there. Because we all got one. That's what we're doing here. You understand? Now, if we dumped our bag right there in the middle of the room, we would have a real hard time separating our stuff. No, mine wasn't a college. Oh, okay. No. Wow, who else did this? See, I don't know about any of you. Do you understand? I don't know about any of you. I know that I was a sick puppy when I got here. I was just full of, what do you call it? Now, incomprehensible demoralization. It doesn't sound nice. Doesn't sound like I got here like, you know, like Pat Boone. Dude, I was incomprehensibly demoralized. That's where I got here. See? Now, when I slid into NA, when I slid into AA, when I slid into CA, CA is like cool. You know what I mean? It's like so cool, you know. And I do. I like everything about CA. I spoke in a Cocaine Anonymous meeting. I started a career out of Cocaine Anonymous. And it's like, it's amazing. It's hard for me to say I did anything. You understand? Because I know whereas thou presence cometh, to get too spiritual, not whereas thou gifts cometh from. You know what I mean? But I spoke in this Cocaine Anonymous meeting, and walking up to it, I knew something was wrong. This was 1985. And I walked up to it, I'm walking up to it, and there's like BMWs. You know what I mean? And Mercedes-Benz. And there's some really nice rides out in the parking lot. I'm thinking about, am I in the right place? And so we get into this meeting, and people look so nice. And I loved it when, like, newcomers would get up, and the Rolex. Guy had a Rolex, a beautiful diamond ring, a nice, just beautiful gold, and he's talking about, I want to get clean. Why? God damn! Shit, you got 4 months right there on your arm, homie. But pulled him aside. Like, look, why don't we hop that watch and go get the bag? But anyway, so I talked in this meeting, right? And after I'm done talking, this kid comes up. Now this kid, me and this kid have got absolutely nothing in common with. You understand? I'm talking zilch. I'm talking this kid couldn't have been from a neighborhood near my neighborhood. You understand? And he would have been in any jail with me. We'd have called him Selma. But, so here's this kid. I finished talking and he comes up and he's like, golly gee, Dan, can I have your phone number? And I almost said, no. See, but I was raised in Alcoholics and Narcotics Anonymous. And I said, yeah, here, man, I gave my phone number. And I don't hear from him for 90 days. You know what I mean? See, because we never know what's going on. You understand? If we knew, we'd be dead. You understand? If I know anything that's going to happen, I'm dead. All right? So, this kid calls me about 90 days later. He calls me at 11, about quarter to 12. Because I remember at night, because I remember I was at one of the meetings where you drink too much coffee. And I'm watching Johnny Carson, and he's got that broad on with the bug, you know, that always got the bug. And like, I'm waiting for the bugs. And this guy calls me, and he goes, golly gee, damn, it's me, you know, Biff, you know, and I sort of like, you know what, hold on, I never guessed it, you know, I mean, because all my partners, like the dudes that call me, like from Folsom, they always start their conversations with golly gee, you know, and this kid says, I feel like doing blow, you know, now I almost said, look, Holmes, why don't you go shoot some heroin? Man. Why don't you go shoot some heroin? Why don't you go get a little habit going? Why don't you do some armed robberies? You know, why don't you go to the pen? Why don't you get some ink on you? You know, a little bit. Any couple of you know, something look like a little bit like this. Little tattoo going. You know? And then we can, like, hang out at the back of meetings without a shirt. And try to say cool stuff to women like, shit, mama, talk shit. But see, this guy said the magic word. He said, I feel like. See, he didn't say, I did. Because he said, I feel like doing, because I'm clean and sober on the program of Alcoholics, Narcotics, and Cocaine Anonymous, for that I'm responsible. He said, I feel like I'm responsible. He feels like. That means I'm responsible. He didn't say, I did. He says, I did, I'm not responsible. So when you call my house and say, Dan, I got loaded, I say, oh, fuck you, I don't give a shit. Good trip. You know what I mean? Hey, it's okay. Call me tomorrow. See? But when you call me and say, I feel like, that's, I'm responsible. You understand? For that, I'm responsible. So I said, yeah, Biff, well, what's up? And I said, come on over, you know what I mean? Come on over, we'll have coffee. Man. And he says, I can't, I'm working. And I said, well, you know, you want to hang here and talk all night on the phone? And he says, why don't you come down to my job? Finished my 14th cup of coffee, you know. I missed the broad on TV, you know, I missed the bugs. And I yell, all right, where's the dog? And he tells me, man, and it's not that far downtown L.A., you know. He's like, yeah, cool, so I'm off anyway, man, and put on my pants and cursing. Took off, you know, figure out, hang with this dude. I asked him, will your boss get mad? He goes, no, no, it's cool, come on. I go down, man. I thought he had a job. It's like a movie set. I thought, wow, hey, this is like cool, you know, and he says, yeah, blah, blah, this guy sees me, and then he says, hey, do you want to be in a movie? I said, what do I got to do? He says, you want to be an extra? I said, an extra what?
First time I'd ever been on a movie set in my life.
He said,
can you act like a convict?
But I'll give it a shot.
They put me on blue denim pants,
and I go, whoa, I know how to wear these.
They put me in Santa Rosa's, and then this guy gives me a shirt, and I take off my shirt to put on this other one, right? And Biff is like right here. I told him, all right, but he'll be my kid. We'll be in a joint. You keep him right here. Right here. So I take off my shirt. He sees my tattoo. This guy comes screaming, oh, God, wait a minute. And he starts doing me like this. I'm trying to figure out what fucking neighborhood is he from. I thought he was signing me. You know, like, all right, cool. It's all right, you know. And this guy's like, oh, wait. And he says, leave your shirt off. And I said, all right. So then I said, what kind of movie is this? You're going to give me more than 40, 50 bucks if I'm going to drop my drawer in front of you. So this guy takes me, and like I'm standing there without a shirt, and they put me in front of his camera. I'm like, well, what am I doing? This other guy, like, keeps staring at me, and he's looking at me. And I've grown a lot on this tour, see? Because before, when people would stare at me, I'd say something real cute like, if you're looking for your mother, yeah, she's back there. Go pick her up. Oh, I'm done with her, man. But since I've grown, I walked up to this guy and I said, what, do I know you or what? And he said, isn't your name Danny? And I said, yeah. He said, you know what? I recognize your tattoo. I saw you fight up in Quinton, 1966. I said, yeah, and we started talking about boxing, and he says, you know what, I wrote this movie. I said, you're a giant. He said, you want a job? You know, he says, you want to be in it? I said, I'm in it. I said, they're going to give me, I showed him my voucher. They're gonna, I gave him $50 for acting like a convict. and we both cracked up because we've been doing this for free all our life. And give me, like, star performances.
Yeah.
And so this guy says, no, I mean, you want to part in this movie. And I says, well, what I got to do? And he told me what they were going to pay me. And then I didn't care what I had to do. I didn't make that much money in some of the robberies I did. I mean, are you kidding me? And he said, no, you know what? He said, you still fight? I said, yeah, I can fight. He said, oh, good. He said, I was to fight this kid. Now, with the money they were going to give me, I thought, I thought he wanted me to, like, put this kid's life up. And I thought, what's a lot of money? You know? And so I looked. And kid, I said, well, okay. You know, it's cool. Where do I sign? And then he realized what he was dealing with up here, see? And he said, no, wait. Now, you're not going to hit nobody. I said, you're going to give me all that money? I've got to hit nobody? And he says, no, you got to lose. I said, all right, I know how to do that too. You know what I mean? And he goes, but he's not going to hit you either. I said, you're going to give me all that money for pretendies? And he says, yeah. And then this director asked me, do you know how to choreograph? And, you know, I said, yeah. And then Victor walked away and I asked Eddie, what's choreographed? Because you don't fake those fighters. I know how to do that, so they were going to pay me for that too. And then he said, can you do stunts? I said, yeah. And then he walked away. I said, what are stunts? You got to fall down. I can do that. They paid me for that too. I worked about 3 weeks on this movie. I got in the union. I got a stake. I got all this shit. And this stayed clean. Funny part. See, I almost blew this job behind the bugs. Behind wanting to watch that boy with the bugs, see? Because we never know
what he's got in store for us. You understand?
Never! And I'm talking about from day to day to day to day to day. And there's people here that actually think, no, I do. I know
what's going on. I'm still walking backwards. I'm walking backwards. I'm seeing him. Wow, that was a good day. Boy, that was a great day. Oh, that was a great day. Oh, hey, that was a good day.
Hey, but you see people around here, they actually think they're walking forward. They actually think, no, I got a handle on it.
No, let's see here. This situation here, calls for the third step. Good. I worked my way through that one.
All I've been doing for 22 years is watching people. I watch them. I watch people work perfect programs every time they come back. See? Every time they come back, I watch them work perfect programs. I watch them. Daddy, don't talk to me because I got to work on inventory. Daddy, don't talk to me because I'm in the test. Daddy, don't talk to me because I'm really in the prayer and meditation. Every time they come back, it's them stupid sons of bitches that give you a hole.
What are you doing? I don't know. Go to a meeting. What did you say? I don't know.
I didn't use.
Those are the guys that are here for a long time. I'm sorry. But those are the guys. Those are the guys that stay here for longevity. I am one of the people, you can go home and tell your sponsors this. I am one of the few people you will meet that admit I'm here for quantity. I'm not here for quality. You understand? I have buried so many people that were here for quality. See? I've watched people talk about, yeah, but I have quality clean time. And then they die. See? Yeah, but I actually only have 3 years, but my sponsor says it's equivalent to 7. I don't know how the piss you do that. See, you get that smart from hanging around with them people to Cocaine's Anonymous. You know what I mean? Because they stay up all night figuring that shit out. You know what I mean? don't be dumb. You know what I God. You know what? That cocaine's around me. Every time I come up, I remember I used cocaine in 1961. See, now, cocaine was not even a drug then. It wasn't dope. It wasn't like the dope. It wasn't dope. And it was so strange that I went through, my uncle and I went through a half ounce of cocaine. Now, we died about 4 times the morning we got it. You know, and you would think that somebody would like say, wow, later for this shit. We went through that half ounce. And then went directly back to heroin. And talked bad about cocaine. I don't know how people use God, I swear to God. A heroin addict is like soup. It's like, you know, you just kind of like, yeah. And then if the cops kick in the door, you're almost like saying, hey, hold it down. Man, can you imagine waiting up all night for the cops? Oh, my God. I stopped using, man. Come on, man. I went on a 12-step call over to one dude's cabin, and he had drilled a hole to the street, right through his front wall, to the street. No, I can watch him. Hey, I have read inventories from everybody that I sponsor in Cocaine's Anonymous, and they're all the same. They all talk about, they kept tapping on my window. and I live on the third floor. You know, next river.
Damn.
You know, so I told you, I watch people. That's what I do. I watch people. I watch people. Every when they come back, I ask them. I need it. When you come back, I'll ask you. Hey, what step were you working
just before you went out?
See?
What step were you working just before you went out?
Nobody. Nobody will has ever told me. Danny, God. I was really working step three, man. I was turning my will and my life over to the care of God. I was writing my inventory now. I was getting ready to go with my sponsor. I was really into the steps, man. And I walked outside the meeting. God struck me loaded.
No one's ever said that. If they ever do, I will give step three to them later. Screw that. I ain't working it.
I'll go 1, 2, 4.
But nobody's ever said that about any step.
So I make a mental note. And don't get too far away from the steps. I ask people, hey, come here, hey. What meeting were you going to? I mean, just before you went out. Nobody has ever told me, you know what, Danny? Hey, I was going to a lot of meetings. Man, I was really involved. I was, you know, participating in the meetings. I was helping with the coffee. I was helping. Man, I had a commitment. I was doing a whole lot, man. I was really involved. I should have walked outside the parking lot. I got jumped, got loaded. No one ever said that. People always, I love it when people say, oh, God, the meetings got too social. I give them two addresses. I say, here. There's one meeting in San Quentin, and the other one's in Folsom. There's some real unsocial meetings, you unsocial bastards. Go sit in there for a while. And then talk about being social. Because as dope fiends, as alcoholics, we're not like social people. You know, every inventory I've ever read never says, hey, and I ended up the life of the party. All of them end up, I ended up alone. Very unsocial. All the cocaine addicts ended up in the bathroom. Slipping lip. Look like a rock, you know. All the heroin addicts. I robbed my kids and I ran over and I shot dope, you know, by myself. See, I wasn't a sharing person when I got here. If I had a pocket full of drugs, I'd hey, come on, let's share. I wouldn't have had that. That's funny. That was even funny, man. I was dead alone, man. So getting into this program, man, is like I had to learn how to be a sharing, caring person. Sharing and caring. You know, if you're new, I suggest you go to a lot of meetings, man. I suggest you go to meetings. You're going to, you know, they tell you don't get emotionally involved. I thank God my sponsor didn't, he didn't play none of that shit. You know what I mean? He said, Danny, if you stay clean and sober, your life will get progressively better. He said, if you continue to use, your life will get progressively worse. And he wasn't bullshitting. See? My first meeting, I just finished doing 5 years. You understand? I finished doing 5 years. I come out, I'm standing in the meeting, and they get ready to say the Lord's Prayer. And this little girl, 18 years old, you understand? 18 years old. She says, will you hold my hand? God, oh, I love her. It's some little dude. He's about 18. Little guy. Yeah, he goes, will you give me a... Oh, God. No, I just finished doing 5 years. It really makes a difference. And I look at my sponsor. He's looking at me. I'm like, hey, Frankie, you were right, buddy. So if you're new, you go to a lot of meetings, man. It's like you go to a lot of meetings. It's like, you know what? I don't know about any of you. My life today is a dream. They told me stay clean and sober, your life will get progressively better. It's a dream. I got a beautiful old lady. She's back at the hotel right now. I have my little son. His little glands swelled up last night, you know. And it's funny, like, we were late, you know, so everybody was crazy. But it was funny, because my kid I don't know if any of you had a kid, but at 5:45, he wanted a Happy Meal. Now, I don't know about any of you, my kids are spoiled rotten. You know what I mean? It's that simple. I mean, being three is hard. You know what I mean? Being hard, I understand. Oh, God, no. Being three is hard. And then with swollen glands, you know, and then the 10-month-old baby, she's like cutting a tooth. Oh, man, being 10 months is really hard. You know what I mean? And, you know, so it's like, you know, she wanted a Happy Meal, and mother, you know, you go ahead, man, you go ahead, and, you know, I'll watch the kids, you know, it's like, you know, that's like the kind of stuff that happened to me today. So I have to go, me and Roger and Jack, we, you know, we're jamming, going to find a McDonald's, and, I have good friends today, too, do you understand? I have good friends. See, now I have the kind of people that I trust my family to. I don't know about any of you, see. I have the kind of people that my house, people have keys to my house, and my wife and my kids are all there, you know, and they can come and go as they please, you know what I mean? And I have keys to their house. Now, I never had that before, you understand? I wasn't the kind of person that you gave a key to your house. You know, and so if you're new, I suggest you go to a lot of meetings. I suggest that you let the magic that is in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous grab hold of you, see? But most of us make stuff make such unimportant stuff so important that we die. Now, because I know a lot of people, that have been dead right. See, I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people in Narcotics Anonymous, in Alcoholics Anonymous, and Cocaine Anonymous that have been dead right. You understand? They took their little chicken shit, poop butt, who gives a piss, resentment, and died. See? Because there is nobody in Narcotics Anonymous, there's nobody in any of them that I resent. There's nobody that I dislike. See? There's nobody that's attacked me in any way. You know what I mean? And I gotta say that for me is the biggest feeling there is. The biggest, you know, like, there's nobody I dislike. You understand? And I don't know about anybody disliking me, and I don't really give a shit anymore. You know what I mean? And it used to run my life. You understand? It used to run my life. Now, if you're new, I suggest you come in here and you realize that you probably only got one brain cell. You know? I don't mean that bad. That's an asset. It is. It's an asset, because you're only running on one, and you can only get like one thought in your mind, you know what I mean? Which is, thank God, see? Now, the people in Cocaine Anonymous, they got like two, see? And they're like, screw them up, see? Alcoholics, they get here with like half, you know what I mean? They're like, you know what I mean? But they get here, you know. I don't know. I have nothing to say. You know, I had a good time, and I hope you did. I hope that whatever I brought into your life, you know, that we all had a good time, because that's all I care about. You understand? That is all I care about. I care about when I wake up, hey, am I going to have fun today? And I usually do, because I started with the Ninja Turtles. So I have kids. I don't know about any of you. You know what I mean? I have dad. Dad, the Ninja Turtles are on. I'm watching Donatello, Raphael, Leonardo, and Michelangelo first thing in the morning. And sinners. So you know what? I don't give a shit. I'm telling you God's honest truth, man. If you want to stay clean and sober, the people of Narcotics Anonymous will go to the end of the world for you, man. But if you want to use, you can go to hell by yourself. See? Because we've all been there. You know, and like it says, man, if you stay clean and sober, good things will come to pass. God bless you and thank you very, very much.